It has been our joy all morning to have a very special guest in our music ministry. Mr. Gibson, please introduce our guests who've been with us today.
On behalf of Christ Church, I'd like to introduce the Woodland Show Chorus to you. They have served all morning long, and they're under the direction of Miss Betty Clipman, and one of our very own, Miss Annette Quimby, participates in the show chorus. Thank you so much.
Been wonderful. So before the service began this morning, we were visiting, and they have a medallion around their neck. They were in international competition, and they finished ninth in the world. The Woodland Show Chorus. And so what a gift you share with us. God bless you. So we are now entering the final week, the fourth week of the celebration of Advent, in which we remember the advent of salvation to the world that comes through the promise of God that the Messiah, the Redeemer, would come. You recall the Greek word for Messiah is Christ. And so this Christ comes, and we recall and we observe this season of Lent, of Advent, through the lighting of the Advent wreath. Each of the four candles represent one of the four major prophecies of the Old Testament that proclaim the coming of Messiah. I've taken advantage of this in this series of messages entitled The Gift You'll Never Return, to contemplate the attributes of God as identified by the prophet Isaiah. It is Isaiah who said the attributes of this Christ, this Messiah, would be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, and today, the Prince of Peace. What would our world be like if we all received the gift of the Prince of Peace? The scriptures for today's message come from the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and then also from the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I'll invite you to follow along in these readings, in your scriptures, in the Bibles that are in front of you or on your smartphone, iPads. Hear now the word of the Lord. For a child shall be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the governments will rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and the Prince of Peace. And from the book of Romans, from the fifth chapter. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What would the world be like if we accepted the gift of the Prince of Peace? I would imagine the best is yet to come. Will you join with me in a moment of prayer? So, Heavenly Father, may now the words which are about to come from my mouth and the meditations that we will choose to place upon our hearts, may all of these things be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength. and our Redeemer. Amen. So Christmas is approaching, and during this time of the year, there can be somewhat of some confusion about what all of this is all about. I was thinking about one of my favorite movies entitled Talladega Nights. Now, there's a character in this movie, Talladega Nights. It's played by Will Ferrell, and there's this one scene in the movie where Will Ferrell is with his family around a big table, and they're ready to say table grace, and the character of Will Ferrell says, "I like praying to the baby Jesus." And so he prays to the baby Jesus, about the 8-pound baby Jesus. He likes the baby Jesus. And then there's Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Charlie Brown, and there can be some confusion about what all of this is about. It is about a gift that has been given to us. What would it be like if we accepted that gift? So I want to tell you about two people. One of them is Eloise Krager. Eloise was a member of a church we served some 30 years ago. Eloise loved to sing. She was what we would call eccentric. And she loved to sing, and she would always sing about 5 octaves above everybody else and really off key. Unlike you ladies, just beautiful. You could always hear Eloise. She was wonderful. We loved her. Well, once at a covered dish dinner following the worship service, when we were in East Texas, Eloise was throwing her paper plates away, and she said, "Brother Dan, when I die and you bury me, I want you to make sure I have a fork in my hand when I'm laying in the casket." I said, "What?" She said, "Yep, I want a fork." "Eloise, you trying to tell me something?" She said, "When I was a little girl, my mama would always make me clean up my plate and throw all the stuff away, but she would always say to me, 'Now, honey, hold on to your fork because something really good is coming.'" So she said, "When you put me in the casket, make sure I got a fork in my hand. You tell everybody something better is coming." Then I want to tell you about John Glenn. John Glenn, an American hero. John Glenn, a military veteran, the first American to orbit the earth. He passed away this week, and his memorial service was held at the Ohio State University. Now, John Glenn, as a military veteran, as a Marine, was entitled to military honors at a funeral service. And part of the military honors is the playing of taps. Well, John Glenn left specific instructions about his honors, his military honors, and he instructed that taps would not be played at his service. Instead, he ordered reveille. Do you know what reveille is? That's a bugle call that you blow in the morning to wake everybody up. And when asked why John Glenn wanted revelry at his military honors, he said, "On the day that I die, I'm rising up to a new dimension." Now I'm wondering, do Eloise and John comprehend something that we may miss? That if we take all of this seriously, all of this, then just maybe, maybe, the best is yet to come. So we do a lot of things, don't we, to try to figure out what Christmas is about, especially shopping and giving gifts. I do not like shopping. I'm not real good at it. And I haven't got my wife's gift yet. So I decided to go shopping at the mall. I lasted about 10 minutes. And then I made my way to the husband couches. You know where those are, right? So I was sitting after 10 grueling minutes of shopping. And that's when I was sitting there and I heard this bell And it was ringing at a distance, and it was ringing and ringing, and it got louder and louder and more obnoxious. And all of a sudden, there was this kid, and he had a wristband on with little jingle bells on it, and he was ringing it, running around, and really obnoxious. And he stopped right in front of me and went, "Hey, mister, you want to ring my bell?" I said, "Son, I would love to ring your bell." Not exactly the Christmas spirit, is it? There's a lot of things that can take from us the Christmas spirit. People can take it from us. Places that we find ourselves in can take it from us. Predicaments that befuddle us can take the spirit from us. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in an absence of peace. What if instead of trying to buy gifts, we receive a gift that we would never return? For a child will be born unto us. A son will be given. And his name will be called the Prince of Peace. What would it be like if this week we accepted that gift? The book of Romans records for us one of the most lyrical and beautiful passages in the Bible. It reminds us of the intimate joy that a person can have when they enter into a relationship with God through this Christ that has come to be with us. Do you see the great miracle and power of Christmas? Is that God has come to be with us. Christmas puts a face to God. Christmas is about the eternal presence of God, and the book of Romans reminds us that because God's love has been poured out on us right here, because we are unable to work our way up to God, God comes down to us. And he pours in his spirit inside of us, which enables us to look at our lives and we can rejoice, it says, in our sufferings. We can rejoice in our sufferings because we know that the sufferings will bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope will not disappoint us. You see the great power of Christmas? Is that God has come to be with us right now. God is here so that no matter where we may go, we find the power and presence of God within us. What would it be like if we accepted this gift? Well, Eloise said, remember the fork, because the best is still to come. When we believe in Christ, we receive a peace of heaven. P-I-E-C-E. Remember the words of the Gospel of John? For God so loved the world that he what? Somebody finish it. Gave. He gave his son. A peace of heaven came down to earth. And now heaven is on earth. And wherever we are, God is. And it says in Romans, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime back, I made a hospital call to Methodist Hospital in the medical center to see my friend Beverly. Beverly was preparing for surgery. And when I walked in, there was this joyous smile on her face. And I asked how she was doing, especially with what she was about to do. You see, she was going to be giving one of her kidneys to her adult son. Her adult son had gone into renal failure. And he was going to die without immediate treatment. Oh, I wish I didn't know all that I know about renal failure. That's why I went to see my friend Beverly. And I knew the answer to the question I asked, Beverly, why are you doing this? And she said with a smile on her face, because it's my son. And I love him. And I want him to live. Isn't it amazing that a mother could give a part of her body that her child might live? Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Sounds miraculous, doesn't it? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave a piece of heaven so that we might live. When we receive Christ of Christmas, we receive a piece of heaven. And then we receive the peace of heaven, P-E-A-C-E. God's Spirit indwells within us. And no matter what occurs around us, we have what it says in the book of Philippians, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that perseveres in struggles. It is a peace that builds character in our heart. It is a peace that receives hope when the world seems hopeless. The peace. Maybe John Glenn is right. Maybe instead of taps, we should all play reveille. At the sound of the trumpet, we rise up into new life. I believe that when we receive Christmas, Christ at Christmas, the best is yet to come. So I left the mall. I didn't get her gift, but I figure I got 4 days before I have to finish. Well, I got outside the side door by the entrance. I got no more than maybe 5 or 8 yards away from the entrance, and I heard that bell, and it started ringing. And I thought, this kid has followed me out of the mall. So I was going to turn around and give him a piece of my mind. So I turned around, and there I saw it. The Salvation Army person ringing the bell. I went, oh, Lord. I found a dollar bill in my pocket. I took it out and I put it in the kettle. She stopped ringing and said, God bless you, sir. The peace of God be with you. And I thought, I was so caught up in everything, I almost missed the meaning of the season. The peace of God be with you. Well, I want to finish this sermon, but I can't. I need you to finish it for me. Over the course of the next 6 days, we will gather in this sacred place. And we will re-gift Jesus to the world. Will you come and be a part of it? It is a gift you will never return. Let's pray together.